Harry ran flat out toward the bathroom on the floor below, cramming Ron's copy of Advanced Potion Making into his bag as he did so. A minute later, he was back in front of Snape, who held out his hand wordlessly for Harry's school bag. Harry handed it over, panting, a searing pain in his chest, and waited. One by one, Snape extracted Harry's books and examined them. Finally, the only book left was the potions book, which he looked at very carefully before speaking. "This is your copy of Advanced Potion Making, is it, Potter?" "Yes," said Harry, still breathing hard. "You're quite sure of that, are you, Potter?" "Yes," said Harry, with a touch more defiance. "This is the copy of Advanced Potion Making that you purchased from Flourish and Blotts?" "Yes," said Harry firmly. "Then why," asked Snape, "does it have the name Runil Waslib written inside the front cover?"
Harry's heart missed a beat. "That's my nickname," he said.
"Your nickname?" repeated Snape.
"Yeah, that's what my friends call me," said Harry.
"I understand what a nickname is," said Snape.
The cold black eyes were boring once more into Harry's. He tried not to look into them.
"Close your mind, close your mind."
But he had never learned how to do it properly.
"Do you know what I think, Potter?"
said Snape very quietly.
"I think that you are a liar and a cheat, and that you deserve detention with me every Saturday until the end of term. What do you think, Potter?"
I don't agree, sir," said Harry, still refusing to look into Snape's eyes.
"Well, we shall see how you feel after your detentions," said Snape. 10 o'clock Saturday morning, Potter. My office."
"But, sir," said Harry, looking up desperately, "Quidditch! The last match of the—"
10 o'clock,
whispered Snape, with a smile that showed his yellow teeth.
"Poor Gryffindor. 4th place this year, I fear."
And he left the bathroom without another word, leaving Harry to stare into the cracked mirror, feeling sicker, he was sure, than Ron had ever felt in his life.
"I won't say I told you so,"
said Hermione an hour later in the common room.
"Leave it, Hermione," said Ron angrily.
Harry had never made it to dinner. He had no appetite at all. He had just finished telling Ron, Hermione, and Ginny what had happened, not that there seemed to have been much need. The news had travelled very fast. Apparently Moaning Myrtle had taken it upon herself to pop up in every bathroom in the castle to tell the story. Malfoy had already been visited in the hospital wing by Pansy Parkinson, who had lost no time in vilifying Harry far and wide, and Snape had told the staff precisely what had happened. Harry had already been called out of the common room to endure 15 highly unpleasant minutes in the company of Professor McGonagall, who had told him he was lucky not to have been expelled, and that she supported wholeheartedly Snape's punishment of detention every Saturday until the end of term.
"I told you there was something wrong with that prince person,"
Hermione said, evidently unable to stop herself.
"And I was right, wasn't I?"
"No, I don't think you were," said Harry stubbornly. He was having a bad enough time without Hermione lecturing him. The looks on the Gryffindor team's faces when he had told them that he would not be able to play on Saturday had been the worst punishment of all. He could feel Ginny's eyes on him now, but did not meet them. He did not want to see disappointment or anger there. He had just told her that she would be playing Seeker on Saturday, and that Dean would be rejoining the team as Chaser in her place. Perhaps, if they won, Ginny and Dean would make up during the post-match euphoria. The thought went through Harry like an icy knife.
"Harry," said Hermione, "how can you still stick up for that book when that spell—"
"Will you stop harping on about the book?" snapped Harry.
"The prince only copied it out. It's not like he was advising anyone to use it. For all we know, he was making a note of something that had been used against him." "I don't believe this," said Hermione. "You're actually defending—"
"I'm not defending what I did," said Harry quickly. "I wish I hadn't done it, and not just because I've got about a dozen detentions. You know I wouldn't have used a spell like that, not even on Malfoy. But you can't blame the prince.
He hadn't written, "Try this out, it's really good." He was just making notes for himself, wasn't he? Not for anyone else.
"Are you telling me," said Hermione, "that you're going to go back and get the book?"
"Yeah, I am," said Harry forcefully. "Listen, without the prince, I'd never have won the Felix Felicis. I'd never have known how to save Ron from poisoning. I'd never have..."
"Got a reputation for potions brilliance you don't deserve," said Hermione nastily.
"Give it a rest, Hermione," said Ginny, and Harry was so amazed, so grateful, he looked up.
By the sound of it, Malfoy was trying to use an unforgivable curse.
You should be glad Harry had something good up his sleeve.
"Well, of course I'm glad Harry wasn't cursed," said Hermione, clearly stung. "But you can't call that Sectum Sempra spell good, Ginny. Look where it's landed him. And I'd have thought, seeing what this has done to your chances in the match..."
"Oh, don't start acting as though you understand Quidditch," snapped Ginny. "You'll only embarrass yourself."
Harry and Ron stared. Hermione and Ginny, who had always got on together very well, were now sitting with their arms folded, glaring in opposite directions. Ron looked nervously at Harry, then snatched up a book at random and hid behind it. Harry, however, little though he knew he deserved it, felt unbelievably cheerful all of a sudden, even though none of them spoke again for the rest of the evening. His lightheartedness was short-lived. There were slithering taunts to be endured next day, not to mention much anger from fellow Gryffindors, who were most unhappy that their captain had got himself banned from the final match of the season.